Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
So, today we're going to talk about reactive, aggressive dogs. I don't know that if you look those up, I don't know if those two would be exactly the same, you know. I think sometimes, for me, and like I said, we might not look it up unless you know. What's the difference between reactive and aggressive?
Well, I'll look up the my definition or like what?
Well, it would be somebody's, you know.
I mean, that's like a loaded question. There's so many forms of reactivity, and there's reactivity and aggression.
Well, but if for
you
me,
you can have reactivity without aggression.
Sure, and that's what I'm saying. We have so many people who, and this is
reactivity
about
could be I'm excited about squirrels. It's just right. Not serious, yeah. You know.
And that's what I try to communicate with people, and people have a really hard time with it. So we're talking humans and animals and both here, right?
Yeah.
So let's say Brett looks at something.
Wait, no, we're not talking about humans.
We are. Reactive. Human, an animal, or both?
Yeah, I'm going
to
die.
So how we get a reactive dog to be an aggressive dog. Okay, you follow me?
Yeah.
Or are you looking up definitions? Somebody can just tell us real quick, what's the difference between reactive and aggressive? Reactive is when you react to something, and aggressive is when you want to bite something or fight, I think. I could be wrong, but that's what I would see it as. But for me, whenever you have a reactive dog.
Yeah, an aggressive dog has intent on causing harm.
Yeah, and a reactive is just reacting to a flight thing normally for me, right? A squirrel running by or a skateboard or another dog or a person, you know.
Can I interrupt something for a second?
Of course. I could not imagine doing this without it.
You know how much it hurts people for a trainer to say out loud, your dog has intent to harm?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, that doesn't mean your dog is doomed. It doesn't mean your dog is terrible, bad,
it means you
no
need
good.
Help. You need help from someone who knows
but,
understands.
But
it.
If possible, I'm trying to word this nicely. If possibly you've had such good dogs your whole life or been around such good dogs your whole life that you don't believe a dog would ever have intent to harm, they do.
They do. A lot of dogs do. And
most of them have humans have led them to that.
For sure.
Way, way most of them. Like 99.99999.
And that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Is whenever we get a reactive dog, for me, I'm trying to think of a city situation, you know. So let's say you're walking down the street with your normal everyday dog and he's doing really well, and a skateboard goes by, a kid on a skateboard, and the dog jumps at it and you jerk him back. You're starting, if you're not careful, you're gearing yourself up to make a reactive dog an aggressive dog.
A tight leash when a dog
is
having a
because
reaction.
What happens is the first time you do that, let's say you have a harness on your dog or a flat collar, and you get your dog back and the skateboard's gone and then you're okay. So tomorrow you do it, exact same thing happens. The skateboard goes by and your dog's lunging and you're like, oh, I'm going to fix this. So you go get a prong collar. That's what most people get. A prong collar, if they get anything. Some of them just go a different direction so they don't beat the kid on a skateboard at the same time in the same place every day. But if they're going to just fix that themselves, they'll go get a prong collar and they'll put it on their dog. Normally not correctly either, you know. I mean, they slide it over their head and it's not adjusted right.
Well, and the prong collar gets used as a
a leverage is all they are. They're just then they're going to hold their dog and they're going to teach their dog not to be reactive.
Yeah.
Well, then a dog gets mad. So then the dog starts getting more aggression on it. And we've had clients come here that they've kept doing that. And one guy with a bicycle, remember him? He showed us that scars on his leg. You put your finger in the hole where he got bit by his own Rottweiler. And it was because this exact thing happened with
a bicycle.
Person on a bicycle.
Yeah.
He kept on and on and on, and then he finally went to a big old prong collar, and then he was a strong guy. He wasn't no little 80-pound guy. He was a strong guy.
Yeah.
So he could hold his 100, and I think that dog weighed 106 pounds, if I'm not mistaken, Rottweiler. And he could hold it, and he did hold it, and he kept holding
it. Yeah, he kept it
always tight.
Under control.
Yeah, under control, but
to
not
a degree.
In a good way.
Yeah.
He couldn't get his dog's leash loose.
Yeah.
And so his dog ended up getting aggressive and turned and bit him. And for me, it's not so easy to fix that when it becomes that way and a human gets bit by their, especially their own dog, because then they're kind of, it's not like a Chihuahua bit him, you know. I mean, he had holes in his legs. I'm not sure if he got him sewed up or not. The way the holes looked, he probably should have. But the way the holes looked, he probably didn't because they didn't heal up nicely. You know, he actually, yeah, like my scars and stuff, crooked knuckles and stuff. But he didn't. And then he came here for us. And then, you know, that's a whole other story that'll probably be in our book one day. But anytime you have this reactivity, being a squirrel, bike, person, another dog. If you take your dog by the dog park all the time and all these other dogs are in there playing and going at 9-0, you know, and you're holding your dog back because you don't want him in that, so you keep him away from it. Then what happens? Then he starts getting aggressive because he gets mad because he can't go play.
It escalates.
It does. And he just gets madder, madder, madder. And then the people put the prong collars on and stuff. If they didn't already. But they don't do all the training.
Or a harness.
Yes, or a harness. And then if the dog pulls backwards, it gets away, and then you're chasing your dog for 2 days trying to catch him, or you see him posted all over Facebook. But all of this stuff, for me, normally, I don't know. It's so hard because people come here, they defend their dog. You know, their dog's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's only bit 5 people and ran away 12 times, but it wouldn't really hurt you. Or their dog, my dog would never bite you. Any dog's capable of biting anybody any given time, you know, it just depends on what's happening. But people try to defend their dog. And instead of, some people don't, you know, some people come in and they're like, man, I got a problem. I need help. I'm having trouble with my dog, and I don't understand it, and I know it's me. It's like, damn, we could skip a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah.
We can go right
to
the
problem. We're 3 lessons ahead already.
Yeah, shit. We can go right to the problem, the root cause.
It's going to save you some money.
Yeah, the root cause, as they say. We'll go right to it and start working on that.
Yeah.
But it's just so bad to, you know, it's, me, I could let Mari or Bear pull me with a flat collar or a harness up my hill and save energy and not get in trouble. You know what I mean? Because we used to do it with log horses a lot. And people says it's mean, but it depends on who and how, you know. But we would have a bit in their mouth and we'd hold the lines and they'd help pull us up the hill when we was working in logwoods. But they would never pull you if you didn't ask them. If you said, whoa, if you had a trained horse, I mean, I was fortunate I had some. But if I'd say, whoa, they stop, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so people just don't sometimes add it up, you know, what makes sense. If your dog's pulling on a leash, what do I do to get it loose? And then what do I do to keep a loose leash? Because they, and yesterday at our walk, you know, I feel we had a really nice group walk in town. It wasn't but 4 or 5 people there. But I feel that we had a really good group walk, and all we worked on pretty much was leash work again, because it's like, you know, whenever you get the leash work really good, we're just going to jump off into other things. But I sent everybody home with a little bit of homework to do. And if you have your dog on a loose leash and you let him pull you a little bit, then you're starting to get your dog set up to where he can't pull your leash. And then he's going to pull your leash at the bicycle, the squirrel, the skateboard, the person, the dog, whatever it might be. Where if you really have a loose leash trained dog, the majority of the reactivity will not appear. If it does, you can just correct it and it's over with. It doesn't ever get into the aggression. You follow me?
No, but I'll listen.
You're not agreeing or you're not catching up?
I'll wait to argue.
Thanks. It's not normal, but... So, for me, the moral of the story is you have to learn to walk your dog on a loose leash. Or you have to teach your dog to pull you on rollerblades, skateboard, or a bicycle, or sled. But they cannot pull you if you ask them not to. So, argue away.
Maybe what you're talking about is leash reactivity and aggression?
They don't even really have to be on leash.
But if you're saying the fix-all is they can't pull on your leash...
Well, you can't... That won't fix your dog... That will fix your dog on a walk, on a leash, you know.
But
if your fluffy dog's out in your backyard loose and he's bouncing off the fences after the squirrels or the neighbor's dog who's barking, you have reactivity. If you don't control, you will end up, not always, but sometimes with aggression to the dog next door. And, you know, the hardest thing is a lot of these dogs, like, don't want to fight that dog when they get there. They want to play.
Some do.
But
yeah,
people put the pressure and the pain on them with the prong collars is what gets the aggression going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it helps the aggression. Not if you have an aggressive dog, we're not talking about that dog. We're talking about what gets them there is that normally for me, it's
leash aggression.
Yes.
You're talking about what gets a dog to be leash aggressive,
yes.
Not general reactivity.
No,
aggression.
Because for me, it kind of all comes down to the same thing. And I know through my cow dog world, if you train your dog off leash, now we're going to talk off leash since Bianca's onto that. She can't argue with the leash stuff, so we're going to debate about something else. But
I can.
Yeah, you can argue about anything. You can argue about being daylight. But for me, in my cow dog world, it goes back to if you keep your dog with you off leash, and he can't chase squirrels, cows, goats, sheep, chickens, bicyclers, skateboarders, birds, anything else, you stop a lot of the aggression from getting there because you're not fighting with your dog. Does that make sense?
No. I still would wholeheartedly disagree.
So Bianca, where are you at?
Keep my dog with me 24/7, you're thinking
saying never 24/7.
No, I know,
that's
but,
not good
but,
either.
But what you're saying is that if you don't let your dog leave you and you keep your dog with you, that you can avoid a lot of that, but that our clients,
you're still not training your dog.
Saying. Our client's main problem is the dogs being with them 24/7. So we need to just back up. Are we talking about on leash reactivity and aggression, or
well,
dogs
that's what
with
we
reactivity?
Were talking about whenever I was talking, and then
okay.
You wouldn't let me talk about that. You wanted to go into
okay.
something else,
okay.
If we're going to go into another type of aggression, where's off-leash, resource guarding, owning people, that's a whole different world.
Okay, so our chapter is on-leash reactivity.
Well,
aggression.
I assume that's what we were on.
That's
because
not
my,
what I wrote, but...
Well, it says reactive, aggressive types, human, animals, or both.
Okay.
I tried to talk about the humans, and you stopped me.
Do we have any questions?
Yeah, you have Lake Bay, Labradoodle.
Hi, Valerie.
I think
Valerie's used to this.
I think reactive is learned behaviors. Aggressive is personality slash breeding.
No. Bullshit. No. Sorry,
a dog's personality?
No. You can create aggression.
Oh,
easy.
You can create
it
aggression
escalates from
bad
reactivity.
With anything,
yeah.
You know. That's, look at Chihuahuas.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like
most dogs that are aggressive aren't genetically aggressive.
No.
No.
Carolyn Lewis says good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Any kind of dog could be. I've got somebody on Facebook. I wouldn't mind meeting him one day. I've never met him. We communicate once in a while about welding or building a fence or something. But this guy, he has like 3 or 4 or 5 pit bulls. And now he got a one of those dogs that ran into a parked car, Frenchie.
Yeah.
He has one of those. And they're like 2 or 3 of them.
Check for movement out there.
Scout's still where he belongs. He ain't crapping in around him.
sitting at the door.
Once it is, it's cold. But his dogs behave, and I assume that he might not be able to leash all of his dogs and walk them in town because he lives in the country, and he probably don't take him grocery shopping. You know, he lives out in, I think, Desert or something. I don't know. But when they're in the house, they'll be just rolling and chewing on one another. They'll be laying on his lap, and I mean, all the stuff above. But the reason I feel they're not aggressive or get in trouble is because he just stopped that shit right off the start, you know. And you could take, I don't know if you could take any dog, but the majority of the dogs, you could make them aggressive. Aggression, you could make them own you, you could make them
even allowing some behavior, like for an example of a really like fluffy soft dog that isn't like genetically aggressive but may allow some behaviors would be like you give a 12-week-old puppy a bone with marrow beef in it, and then your kid crawls over to the dog while it has the marrow beef, and that puppy totally has intent to harm.
Yes.
If you're getting close to my juicy beef bone. And if you allow that, which obviously you should have structure set up where your baby isn't crawling towards a puppy with a bone. But if you allow that, then you can very easily agree with the dog resource guarding. And it doesn't mean that that dog is like born to be a killer.
But for me, you take dogs, and it doesn't matter if it's from Valerie's breeding program or Joe Bob's, you know. Normally, the difference is, for me, when we get a puppy comes in from training from Valerie's breeding program, if it has issues, we're like 80% sure that it's human-related, you know. There's always a chance it could be genetic somewhere with any dog. It doesn't matter whose dog it is. But if we get a dog from Joe Bob's breeding program that breeds them out behind a shed, you know, and we know there's a lot better chance that that dog might
genetically might have some issues. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
there's still
kind of what Valerie's saying is so true in some ways, because the breeding program, it's like with the cow dog world. If I get dogs from parents that work really well, if I have a choice, I would like, when I get my puppy from that mom and dad, I would rather wait and see that mom and dad's first litter work and see how good they are before I get mine. Because there's so many times that that gene will come from 2 or 3 dogs back, I've been told, you know. So it's not always perfect when you have good dogs and...
I do agree that it's much less likely if the breeder is breeding for temperament.
You bet.
It is. But you can have the perfect puppy genetically and people can still
screw it up.
Oopsie it.
Yeah, screw it up. Yeah. And you can have a litter. Comments? You can have a 6-litter pups and you might have 5 great puppies and one just a demon from hell.
Yeah, true. You
know? I mean, and we've seen it. I mean, with all
but sometimes
breeds,
the demon from hells have turned out really cool if you know what to do with them.
You bet. If you can put your foot down and train and keep a good attitude about it and have fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think we kind of got off of our chapter.
But we have questions. Let's get the questions.
We're still on the track.
We're not. We're gonna revisit.
Brett.
It's okay. I'm all right. I'm not gonna blow.
Brett, what you got?
Like Gray says, so then what's the difference between reactive behaviors and aggressive? I've never sent home an aggressive dog, but I've seen them later, and they have reactive behaviors like growling and biting.
For sure.
The difference,
and this is the reason right here. They get babied too much. They don't have no rules. They don't have a lot of structure.
Yeah.
They get help. They get love. They get petted.
Relationship, they get lack of leadership, lack of structures, yeah, lack of boundaries, lack of accountability is what most of the time causes it. If it's on leash, which we were talking about, then it has everything to do with you're not leash training your dog to not pull on the leash. And you can have a really excited puppy, and if they're restraining it all the time, that can turn into such heavy frustration.
Or just wrestling all the time with it, and just always doing fun stuff and no training on that little puppy. And Bianca shows out here day in and day out, you know. The puppies get a play. There's a puppy in the round pen now with 15 toys running around playing. But when Bianca goes out there, then there's structure put back into the play. It can still have fun, but she's still going to find some way to have some kind of rule implemented into something. And I think that's what people don't do. And it's I don't know, people just want to sit around and hold these little puppies all the time and or let them play and just be chaotic, you know, and not put no rules into that. And Bianca's talking about all that on her podcast with the puppies, so I'm going to skip a lot of the puppy stuff, and she can slap people around for that. But so are we going to try to get back on this, or are we just going to avoid it now?
No, we can get back on it. I had written notes for talking about reactivity and aggression, so why don't you just keep on with leash reactivity?
And well, leash I think we kind of covered leash reactivity already, if you, you know, right? We cause it by tight leashing dogs, getting dogs into too much excitement before, and we talked about this yesterday or the day before, I think, on a podcast, about the dogs that go home from here, the people take them right back to the World War III in their neighborhood before they get any kind of relationship with their dog, and it goes, some of them go back to aggression, but if the people get a hold of us, I don't know any of them that we haven't fixed.
Yeah, there's been a few
people we can't fix, you know, but rarely. That's totally the human's problem, not ours. And but the leash aggression normally is caused by restraint of some kind.
Yeah.
So
got a couple things. Lake Bay said, yes, I think people teach them to be reactive but blame the dog as being aggressive or something wrong with the breed.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they do. And then we know, Bianca and I know, and I've known for 30 years that it's a human error.
Yeah.
You know, normally, not saying always, because, I mean, you know, sometimes a dog just, I call it a loose screw, you know, like humans.
Yeah.
But majority of the time, a person backed that screw up and stripped it out and won't work on fixing it. So you got anything else, Brett?
Yeah, Carol had said good morning earlier. She said, I don't want to mess up my sweet boy. Golden Retriever just turned 2. He's a country boy and I'm a suburban mama. He tries to retreat. Is that a completely different topic?
He tries to retreat or retrieve?
Retreat.
Like he's afraid of things? Could you clarify, like he hides from things or tries to back away when on leash?
Good question.
So, Bianca, I really like your subject today, so we need to move on to some of it. And we'll answer this question if I re-ask it.
She said, yes, scared.
Scared?
Yeah, okay.
Well, for me and I, it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's a subject that I touch on all the time. We see it all the time. We've got a dog here now that was scared of the world when it come here, and now it's excited to go meet the world, the little long-legged dog.
The puppy, too.
Yeah.
You close the door, and that puppy's like, oh, my God, it's an earthquake. Yeah. Runs and hides. Yeah.
And so a dog, the
now
hardest.
She's trying to break it.
Yeah. The hardest thing about this 2-year-old golden retriever, I think she's talking about, is normally the person's trying to fix it is babying the dog.
Or trying to socialize
and shelter
it.
The dog and try to talk the dog into doing something and the dog gets scared or...
I think I would love to have data on it, but I feel like so many more people, when they have a scared dog, try to socialize it.
They do. They drag it right out in public. And
they don't shelter them anymore. No. In the old days, they would lock them up, but I think less people lock them up now. Not saying you should lock them up. That's definitely not the answer.
Well, you should get help from a professional. And we handle so many dogs like this. Even this little pup yesterday, just brought it home, I think. It was scared. If I clapped my hand, man, it was gone.
Yeah.
And I just kept playing and clapping my hands and making it fun, and I'd quit and get it over and pet it, and hell, before long, it'd sit there by my feet while I clapped my hands.
Yeah.
And that took all of them.
That's with a puppy, though, not
yes,
a two-year-old dog.
Yes, but the two-year-old dog, you've got to, for me, and one thing you need to get around is good dogs. It's not going to aggravate it. It's not scared of the world. And sometimes to get the dog with the good dogs, you got to train the dog not to fight the good dogs, you know. But, and it needs to be socialized for my world by a professional and not in town.
You can't socialize it with people who don't know what to do with the dog that's afraid. Because everyone does things that make it worse.
They're, baby, it's okay. Come here. We're okay. And so, and you get a hold of the, I don't know, not sure who it is, but you can get a hold of the office if you'd like and try to set up a consultation, a meet and greet with us, and we'll try to see if we can come up with a plan to help you. Anything else, Brett?
Yeah, she said I am trying to socialize it. She's trying Home Depot.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. It's just, because your dog feels pressured. And uncertain, and no offense, not confident in your leadership. And then you get it out where people are going to add more pressure, and it's not secure.
Yeah, it makes it really hard. So
yeah.
For me, like I said, I recommend just get a hold of the office if you'd like, and we'll try to set up a consultation. And we could go over all the do's and don'ts, you know. You don't have to board and train with us if you don't want to. You don't even have to do lessons with us if you'll pay for a consultation. And
we'll... We have a lady that, I wonder if that's the lady I talked to yesterday, her name was Christine. But she's not ready to invest in training, but I told her, man, you need to do a consult just so you can get some honest evaluations on
and then follow us on social media, you know, and try to catch up with some of the stuff that we recommend. And so, Brett, you got anything else?
Carol just says, I'm new.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you, Carol. Marvin and Bianca.
So, Marvin, why don't you throw out three things you shouldn't do? I'm going to say a disclaimer because Marvin has a hard time giving advice out on the internet because he doesn't want it to go south for you if the dog is different than what you're describing.
Yeah.
So, this isn't a one-size-fits-all, but give three general things that you would recommend someone who has a dog that's afraid.
Well, the number one thing is get help from somebody that deals with this kind of dog. Follow somebody on social media. Not everybody, but like us on social media, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really do all the training on there to show you how to fix these dogs, but we talk about it enough, you know. But for me, I feel that you want to have somebody to approach. If it's worried about people... If you want somebody to meet your dog, and if it's not going to eat them, I have that person to just sit down and ignore your dog.
Let the dog just exist.
Let the dog sniff them out, come over to them, and don't let the people just reach out and try to touch it.
Yeah.
Just let it hang out with you and it, you know, and just start that way with them. And then let the person put his hand out, let the dog smell it again. If a dog ain't going to bite him, you know, you don't want to do it if a dog bites. And then for me, a lot of times, if you walk off with your dog on a leash away from that person and have that person walk alongside you and talk to you, anything like that to try to get your dog back. But if you let the person hover over your pup or your dog, it's just going to make your dog worse. If you drag your dog into a Walmart, Home Depot, Wilco, wherever, that it doesn't want to go, you're most likely not going to help your dog. You'll make your dog worse. So the thing you want to do is, it works wonders for us. If you can do it, get your dog out with good dogs that are real well socialized in a non chaotic place. and let your dog start hanging out with good dogs, and then you can add a person to them or whatever. That works really well.
A lot of times we pet the dogs that we know that are fine, and then that dog gets curious. Yeah. And it's like, well, maybe I'll go over there. These other dogs are going over there. There's so many things.
Stuff like that works so well for them. But it's just so hard to do. People's got to work, you know, like got bills and shit to pay. You got to buy groceries, so you got work. You don't just have time to hang out with your dog. But for me, you should make time, and you can make time, I'm sure, you know. That's just a matter of using the time right. And like you said, you're trying, you're going places, you're doing things. So that shows you're trying.
Right.
I just would try different things.
Yeah, sometimes you put in so many hours and effort, but it's things and you know that are not. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, so Brett, you got anything else?
Yeah, like Bay said, I'm curious, is there such a thing as too much socialization or just wrong place/time socialization? I'm talking about an adult dog.
There is such thing as too much socialization. Like me, I don't like big crowds. And there's some dogs that are that way. They just don't do well when you got 500 people stomping and screaming and hollering and carrying on. Yes.
Way more dogs have reactivity from over socialization than under socialization.
And you take your dog to places. For me, now I guarantee you, and I've done it a time or two, not my dogs, but client dogs. If I go to Wilco with my dog, Fluffy, and somebody wants to pet it, I'm like, hell no. Leave my dog alone. We're here for training. I'm nice about it, of course. When I get up to the counter and they want to give Fluffy a treat, I'm like, no, give it to me and I'll give it to him later if you would like. I don't let them feed my dog treats. And I feel that even if you have a scared dog and you drag him through Wilco and then you drag him to the counter and you let him get a treat, if he'll take the treat, which most time if they're that scared, they won't. But if they were to take it, all they socialize with is I get drugged for an hour and scared to death and I get a treat and then I'm scared 2 seconds later. So you can way over socialize your dog.
Yeah.
Less socializing your dog.
And the type of socialization way
is a lot better. You know, I took my dogs before the Camby Taxi on my old sport dog, and he followed behind. He came behind it, and he followed me through that whole thing. I didn't have a leash on him. People couldn't believe that he was staying. I mean, there was a crowd shoulder to shoulder, and I never lost my dog. He stayed right behind my feet, and people were amazed that he would with all the chaos, but I trained him for the chaos because that's what we did with Cowboy and done different demonstrations and stuff. And like you with Cash, you know, it really makes a difference when you put those dogs in that situation.
But all I did with Cash, I let a lot of people pet Cash in the right environment, but most of the work I did with Cash was getting him out to exist.
You bet.
Not getting him out to have everyone pet him, not getting him out to have him greet a billion people and dogs. I had him with sound dogs to play. And then when we were out and about, it was like, you're just going to exist. We're just out here doing things, not teaching him when we go out there, we're going to greet 50 million dogs.
You're not
going to
get petted by everybody and hugged by all the dogs. So you got anything else, Brett?
No, that's it.
Okay, so let's, I don't even know how long we've been on here. 40 minutes. Yeah. So we're going to talk what is important to rehab that behavior with aggression. Again, I go back to a loose leash if you have an aggressive type dogs, and we've showed that, I don't even know, maybe 1,000 times or more with people. But to rehab that dog, that's aggression, right? On leash? On leash or anywhere?
We're talking about leash reactivity and aggression for this one.
So if you have a dog that is that way, for me, and I, like I said, we've done it a zillion times, I prefer to take the prong collar off, take the harness off, and start out. I like to start out with a slip leash, always. And then I will add an e-collar to it. Normally, not always, but a lot of times, I might add an e-collar before the pinch collar.
Because it's less aversive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can use my slip leash to bring my dog back. Or I'll use a martingale.
Yeah.
You know, with a long line.
Yeah.
But it all comes back to correcting your dog. Pressure and not just and threatening your
pressure
dog.
Pressure and release.
Yeah, not just be like, I'm going, and your dog gets tired and falls asleep. I start off instantly with trying to correct my dog in a fair way because it ain't his fault that he's in that situation. It's usually human related. So I'm going to really be fair with my dog and try to get him out of that. Depends on my dog, you know, if he's a 20-pound dog or if he's a 100-pound dog. Sometimes that makes a lot of difference in how we do it, you know, or how I do it, just because of the fact that if you have that 100-pound dog that locks in four-wheel drive and jerks you down, you're in deep trouble. So we will go a different route. But to fix those dogs, if let's say they're dog aggressive, like we'll use Zelda.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Because she was really, really least aggressive, I guess, to dogs. And dog fought, and she didn't argue. I think, if I'm not mistaken, well, her owner's probably working right now. But for me, if you go with her, we had her here for over 2 weeks before we got her out with a pack of dogs. And by the time we got her out with a pack of dogs, she wanted to go out with a pack of dogs because she watched all them dogs playing and having fun, and they were controlled. And then, but we made her behave while she watched the dogs. And then I'm not telling everybody to do this because it may not work for you. I don't know. But I think our disclaimer's all over these videos and talk, right? About don't do what we said we did. I mean, get a hold of a professional trainer or whatever. But when it come to Zelda, yesterday's the first time we put her out with dogs, and she was super stoked to be out with dogs. And then her owner came in, and that was a little bit different when her owner got here. I put a long line on Zelda and made sure she behaved. But it's just really hard for people to understand how to get your dog from the leash aggression to not being leash aggressive. And it goes back to somehow you've got to, you know, I don't know if a dog knows how to heal properly on leash, off leash. It's a lot easier to address the aggression because you can work with it with that. But I think that it's possible to still have a loose leash dog healing perfectly, that if you turn him loose, he's going to go attack.
Or you can have a loose leash dog. What part of the reason we have a hard time giving advice over the internet is that sometimes people say they have a leash aggressive dog, but they don't. They have a dog that owns them, and when things get near them,
they bite.
They bite. So if we tell you get your leash loose and then things are fine and dandy, and or you get the idea that things are fine and dandy, sometimes the tight leash is making things worse, and it is always better to have a loose leash, but sometimes your problem is the dog being within close proximity to you because it views you as their property.
And that's exactly, if you have a reactive, aggressive dog on leash, normally they go out there and try to cause trouble. But like you're saying, if the dog's staying by you perfectly nice on loose leash, but then when somebody or something is too close, they strike.
Right.
You know, that's a dog that is possessive of you. You know, they own right. you, or they own right. your car or truck right. or house or sidewalk or right. whatever it is.
And sometimes that's the possession of the owner is what's causing the reactivity.
It is.
They don't want shit near you.
Yes, they just own
people,
you.
Bikes, dogs. Squirrels, they're yeah. like, get away, I own this.
Husbands or wives.
Yeah, true.
You know, kids, yeah. grandkids. Yeah. I mean, yeah. we've seen it all. And
yeah. I would say owning territory, people, places, or things is the most common aggression cases we
yes.
get. They
yes.
own the house, they own the car, they own the person. Most commonly, they own the person.
Here, a while back, somebody told me to grab the dog food out of the back floorboard of their car. And stupid ass me. Man, I don't know. I'm hoping not.
Because the
dog's just a sweetheart. He was sitting there on the front seat. Hey, Marvin,
the people don't know the dog owns the car.
Holy shit.
They don't have any idea until they come and they learn.
I opened that door and wretched in, and that dog went cool.
That's like not very smart.
Luckily, I know, but it was a really nice dog, they said. And luckily, it was in the front seat, and it might have been restrained in the passenger seat or something, but it was trying to eat the window in the door in the front of the car to get to me. It's like, holy shit, how stupid am I?
And I agree.
Yeah. Once Bianca agrees with me. But I don't know how many thousand times I've done in my life, been around dogs like that. And I was stupid in no stupid zone. Luckily, it wasn't a Rottweiler, and he came over.
Scout, go load up.
He's She's probably got to go to the bathroom. So, the relationship with your dog and why it matters. Is that like you want your dog to be accept you as a leader? And why it matters?
I don't know.
Well, you asked a question that don't really... it don't follow my answering category. But
none of my notes follow your answering category.
So your relationship with your dog and why it matters. And I was just talking, man, I got glue on me from this morning. I was just talking to somebody about this exact thing yesterday, where Bear and Mari don't need to be in my pocket to be hugged and petted. But they like it if I take the time to do it. And Mari will come to me more than Bear and run up into me and want to know if I want a pet or not, you know. And at the same time, they will go to someone else and let them pet them.
Yeah.
I feel if we have... And if you ever done the... like Mari, she could tell you so much about people.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know... there's been like two or three people that she just does not like.
Yeah.
She wolf at them and like back away from them and won't let them get close to her. And those people are really hard sometimes to fix.
Yeah.
Because they're just like...
We're not trying to fix people. It's hard to get them to change.
Is that not the same difference?
I mean, yeah, it's different.
Okay, we're trying to get people to change. And be a better leader for their
dog. I just don't think it's very nice to say fix because then you're saying people are broke. You know?
I fix my truck before it breaks. If I know my tires is getting bad, I go put new ones on
before they blow up. Are you comparing your truck to human beings?
I always compare people to dogs and horses and cows and everything else, Bianca. So I think that the relationship with you and your dog and why it matters, or why I would say why it's so important, is if you're a leader for your dog and your dog accepts you as a leader, your dog can have so much more freedom in life. Yeah. And you can have so much more freedom of what you can go do with your dog.
Yeah.
But if you have that dog that's least reactive, people reactive, owns you, real estate, whatever, you're really limited to what you can do with that dog.
Yeah, and most everything comes back to what your relationship with your dog is like. Are you a pushover? Do you allow everything? Do you spoil? Do you have rules? Do you stick to the rules? Do you have boundaries? Do you stick to the boundaries? Do you have good boundaries? Are you codependent? Can you not be away from your dog?
I'm going to drink some coffee while you go through your list. It all comes back to, for me, if you're a good leader for your dog, alpha, right? You know what they call it, alpha?
No.
No, it is.
No.
I've seen it on the internet, no. And I know I'm right.
Marvin.
If you're a good leader for your dog, if you're the leader, not alpha, because I guess that's not terminology we use now, but if you're the leader for your pack of dogs, and you don't allow no dog to be a leader in the pack, then you could have a lot better pack and a lot bigger pack and a lot more breeds in your pack. Do you agree?
Yeah. I the only reason that I like it, words don't always matter.
No.
But I feel like alpha kind of makes it sound like you need to be some sort of like dominant badass, and that's not really
true. See, that's
at
the
all.
New world, the old world I live in. Oh, you're the alpha.
Okay.
I never said I was an alpha with my dog world, you know?
I know.
Even all my dog training, I just said you had to be the leader. And you got to be the leader of your pack, or else some other dog in your pack will take leadership and you have an unstable pack.
Yeah.
So you've got to be the leader. So the relationship with your pack, with your dog.
Or your pack.
Yeah.
Maybe you have more.
Oh, Bianca always does. I think that for me, if you're a good leader, you can have a great pack of dogs.
What's a good leader?
Your dogs don't have gray area to run around in.
Clear instruction.
But you've
got to... Clear right and wrong.
You've got to let your dog know when he's right and you've got to let them know when it's wrong. And a reward for being right to me is just like good boy or good girl.
Praise.
Or, yeah, pet them on the head.
Or, meaningful praise.
Yeah, I don't never give my dog food for being good. I give them food or a treat because I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. There's not a whole lot of dogs I feel that I've seen that if you train on them a little bit, and if their tail's just neutral, you know, and you pat them, good boy, their tail just starts going. Yeah. They're like, oh, I've done something good, yeah. You know. People don't understand that, I think, a lot of times. And
This morning, that puppy that's afraid, it doesn't come out of the crate. It, like, wants to stay in there where it's cozy, you know. And I was like, come on, puppy, come on, puppy. And Brett said, I can hear its tail because its tail is like, oh, man, I really want to do it, but I'm scared.
Yeah. It makes it fun how much difference it makes. But if you're in the black and white, no gray on your dog for a leader, it makes being a leader a lot easier to be there. If you're one of those people that don't make me count to three,
yeah,
then you're not. You're going to have some gray area, and your dog's not going to understand it.
Yeah.
So how to get them back out around humans and dogs? Well, we touched on this a lot earlier, and even with the lady with that goes to Home Depot.
Yeah.
For me, and we get a lot of these dogs like this from humans, you know, from clients. I mean, not humans, but from clients. And then Kay said the other day we'd had our 54th dog from the shelter.
Yeah.
And I think we've had two or three since then, so.
Yeah.
But there's so many of those dogs that come here, they're scared death of the world. And then there's some of the dogs that come here that's been dogfighting, you know.
Yeah.
And for us, it always comes back to we train on the dogs, we teach the dogs, and then we try to put the dogs with our good dogs. And everybody don't do it. Some people may not have the good dogs to put them with, you know, or or don't want to own a dog. I don't know, whatever the case is. But we try to get them out with stable dogs. We keep handling them, and then we eventually will take them to town and train on them in town.
Right.
We'll get them out around other people. And we've got bicycles around here. Bianca's got one in the round pen, and there's a skateboard in there, and Mariah's old bicycle's in the back stall. And
yeah.
I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff around this property, cows and horses and chickens. So the dogs get around a lot of different things while they're here. And when they're around other dogs that are around that environment that are stable, I feel it always helps that dog to be stable. And then we've got to get the person who owns the dog to step up into the leadership role a little bit more. So, Brett, you got anything?
No, we don't.
Bianca, did I cover your list good enough?
Yeah.
I know you're not disagreeing, so you must be believing I did. You look like you have doubt on your face, but...
No.
So, I guess we'll just sign off if we don't have nothing left.
No stories, nothing? That's it?
Huh?
You have no stories, nothing? That's it?
Bianca, I'm trying to... what am I trying to do?
Focus.
Focus. Yeah. Can't focus, but I'm trying.
Do we have any more comments?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Everybody have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.